All right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today's February 24th, 2026. And our top story this morning, we've got another mega deal for AI chips in the hardware space. This time it's Meta is buying somewhere in the ballpark of $60 billion worth of AMD chips. Notice I said AMD. I didn't say NVIDIA there. That's interesting. This deal will be spread out over several years for up to 6 gigawatts of chips. And I don't know why we measure chips in gigawatts. By the way, just tell us how many GPUs they're buying and what they're paying for it. But I digress. It's kind of funny that they should mention all those gigawatts, because remember, we've got this whole power thing that's going on in this country, and there are political protests on the right, left, and middle, which kind of doesn't leave you a lot of wiggle room. There's political protests everywhere because power bills are skyrocketing because we're building all these data centers all over the place. There's another 6 full-size nuclear reactors worth of energy demand just in this deal that was announced this morning, on top of all the other ones that have already been announced. Data centers that probably will never get switched on. They're probably going to build them anyway, because if there's one thing Meta does, it's burn other people's money with great efficiency. But also another noteworthy thing in this deal this morning is it also includes stock warrants, where Meta will be able to buy up to $160 million worth of AMD shares, which at today's valuation is somewhere around $32 billion worth of stock. So that would make Meta almost a 10% shareholder in AMD if they were to do this. You know, I'm looking through this deal, and again, I have my doubts about whether these chips will ever actually get plugged in and turned on anyway because of the power problems. I've said this a few times. I think by this fall, by the time the midterms come around, the election's basically going to be a contest to see who can be more opposed to data center construction in their districts. And that's probably not good news for this bubble. But again, I can't help but notice Meta's buying these chips from AMD. And this is after we've had deals over the last few months of OpenAI buying chips from Amazon, and OpenAI buying chips from Google, and Anthropic buying chips from Google, their TPUs. I see NVIDIA's moat shrinking here. I see NVIDIA's margins compressing. They're losing market share. The space is becoming increasingly commoditized. NVIDIA is still the gold standard of GPUs, but by less of a margin than they used to be. And again, this is all leading up to NVIDIA's earnings on Wednesday this week. That is going to be the biggest event in the market of the week. I'm sure NVIDIA's earnings are going to be spectacular. The question remains, will the market care how good NVIDIA's earnings are, or are they starting to see through these accounting shenanigans now that I've been talking about them for, well, almost 3 years now? Also in the AI space this morning, we've got some Anthropic headlines. First of all, we had the hilarious story yesterday of Anthropic basically coming out and warning that a bunch of Chinese AI labs, notably DeepSeek, has been mining Claude in a process called distillation in order to train their own models. In other words, they've been basically stealing Anthropic's intellectual property. And that's interesting because Anthropic is part of an industry, artificial intelligence, that is built on a foundation of the theft of intellectual property. Anthropic, OpenAI, and everybody like them has done nothing but steal the life's work of authors, musicians, journalists, actors, everybody. They have crawled the entire internet. They've stolen data, taken it without paying, which is, yeah, that's stealing. That's how that works. And now they're like, hey, China stole our stolen stuff. Well, all I can say, Anthropic, is it sucks when people steal your shit, doesn't it? Maybe there's a lesson in there somewhere. You know what? Just go ahead. Keep crawling the internet. What do I know? But also going on with Anthropic is a deal with xAI that involves Anthropic. Actually, it involves Anthropic getting pushed out at the Pentagon. Now, this is interesting. xAI just cut a deal with the Pentagon where Grok is going to be installed in classified systems. And that's something that Anthropic used to do. And we don't know if this means Anthropic is going to be taken out. But I do know there was a story yesterday about Dario Amodi, the CEO of Anthropic, basically being summoned to the Pentagon to explain Anthropic's opposition and refusal to basically give the Pentagon unfettered access to the models as part of their deal. Anthropic wants to leave guardrails to prevent things like mass surveillance and the creation of autonomous weapon systems. And apparently XAI has no such misgivings, and it looks like XAI is about to take a whole bunch of business from Anthropic with the military. Now, going on this morning as well, Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan, I tell you, he never disappoints when it comes to sound bites. And he's got a couple of doozies this morning. He's in this interview and he's talking about how basically he's warning of higher asset prices. And the phrase he used is he sees everyone getting a little too comfortable that these asset prices are real. Well, it's funny, Jamie. One might be forgiven for thinking what you just said is that these asset prices are fake, right? When you say people are getting too comfortable that something is real, are you not implying that it's fake? Pretty sure that's how that works. And well, gee, that sounds a lot like what this paranoid conspiracy theorist, Twitter rando, nobody has been saying for a couple of years, that there's no freaking price discovery in this market and everybody's passing this imaginary paper back and forth, collecting fees along the way, making unsuspecting investors pay way too much for things they have no idea what they're buying. But hey, again, that's just the ramblings of a Twitter rando and the CEO of the biggest bank in the world. I'm sure that's probably nothing. That's great news. But he also says that he sees financial institutions doing dumb things, chasing net interest income. That is interesting as well. It's almost as if to suggest that banks are lowering their standards, making loans to people who have very little chance of paying them back because they can collect fees along the way. And then, of course, very quickly, they sell those loans to somebody else, typically grandma's pension or your retirement fund. Again, if only somebody had been warning about this for several months now. That's interesting this morning. We've also got FedEx is suing the federal government for refunds of tariffs. They are the first of many to do so since the tariff ruling on Friday. And actually, there were several companies that had preemptively sued the government for tariff refunds even before the Supreme Court decision lingers or while it was lingering before it was issued. Now, that's kind of interesting because the government is arguably every one of those tariffs that was paid under false pretenses, according to the Supreme Court now, will have to be paid back. So FedEx is probably going to win, as well as everybody else who paid any tariffs is probably going to win. The government's going to have to give that money back. Where are they going to get that money? From the bond market, probably, or the Treasury General Account. We've got China is still throwing a fit over comments by Sanai Takeuchi several months ago, saying that Japan would come to Taiwan's aid if they were ever invaded by China, which is probably going to happen next year. They are out this morning with more export controls targeting Japan. That's after Takeuchi won a resounding victory in the latest election in Japan that will likely result in modifications to Japan's constitution. And it looks like they're going to be taking out a lot of those pacifism things that were put in after World War II, which would allow Japan to intervene in a military conflict over the South China Sea. We've also got Home Depot earnings out this morning. The housing market, it's still frozen. Comp sales up just 0.4%. That is anemic. Actual sales down 3.8%. Home Depot not looking so good here, but a lot of that negativity already baked into the cake. Home Depot stock is up a couple of percent ahead of the open this morning after doing a whole bunch of nothing for the last several years. And we've got another one of Jamie Dimon's cockroaches this morning. Or should I say a cucaracha? Because this is a private equity firm in Puerto Rico. The Phoenix Fund, with roughly $500 million in liabilities, they just filed for bankruptcy. Are we going to see this? Are we going to see a lot more of these? This is another big bankruptcy in the private asset space, just as all of these assets are being sold to our retirement accounts. Oh, but it's going to be great. Remember, we're democratizing finance, not dumping bags on unsuspecting retail investors. We got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. And don't forget the George Noble's Best Ideas Online Stock Summit on March 11th, which yours truly will be presenting at. Thank you very much, George, for the invitation to present at this meeting. We got a great cast of characters will be presenting at this event, and I am honored and humbled to be among them. Link down below in the description. You can get your tickets there. Right now, the S&P 500 is higher by about 7 points or 0.1% ahead of the opening bell after having a rough day yesterday. The Dow is up 86 points or 0.18% after falling more than 800 points yesterday. Look, the Dow freaked out. Everybody was blaming this Substack post by Citrini that basically said AI is so awesome, everything is going to sell off and you know, the market's going to fall apart. I don't subscribe to that. I actually think right now there's this roving sell that's going around through the market, picking industry by industry. And I think the cover story is AI is so awesome that all of these stocks are going to sell off. Well, then how come the AI stocks aren't rallying as all these other stocks are selling off? I actually think what's going on, this AI fear trade, is actually a little bit more along the lines of what Jamie Dimon's warning about this morning, that all these industries are going to see big problems because none of them can pay their debt because they borrowed too much money and fraud is run rampant. And if that really is the case, then AI is the last place in the world you want to be right now. But hey, that's just me. Everybody's like, all right, Citrini said a thing on Substack, sell IBM. Apparently that was this thing yesterday. The NASDAQ is higher by 88 points this morning, 0.36% in the green. So we've got a little bit of a bounce after the tough sell-off yesterday in stocks. The U.S. dollar is at 97.97, 23 basis points higher, about a quarter of 1%. Looking over at the bond market, we've got a little bit of movement in bonds this morning. Emphasis a little, the 30-year yield, 4.692%. That's off by a fraction of a percent. The 10-year yield is higher by a point and a half at 4.04%. The two-year at 3.465%. That's higher by 2.5 points. And the one-month is at 3.688%. Off by a fraction of 1 point. Looking over at commodities, we have got some red in the metal space. Metals had a really good day yesterday. We are now off those highs. Again, volatility seems to be coming back here. Spot gold still looks pretty good, above $5,100 here at $5,107, although that's off by $120, 2.3% lower. April COMEX gold futures at $5,123, lower by $103, or about 2% in the red. Spot silver is at $85.71, off by $2.50 or 2.8% after hitting an intraday high of $88.91. March COMEX silver futures are at $85.63, lower by 90 cents, 1% in the red, but I still like the shiny. Copper is higher by 1.4%. Platinum is down 0.8%. Palladium is down 2.1%. And crude oil is higher by a half a percent here at $66.66 for April WTI futures. Looking over at Bitcoin, we are below 63,000 in Bitcoin. That's $62,900, off by about $1,700 from yesterday. Now in our fourth consecutive day of red candles, I can't help but notice that this sell-off in Bitcoin was somewhat reignited right around the time the Mexican government killed El Mencho and everything went to shit in Mexico. Well, you know, as my moderator Mish put it in our phone call this morning, going to the mattresses is expensive. And well, if the cartels are going to war with the Mexican government, then they're probably buying a bunch of things that go boom. They got to pay their soldiers and everything. It's probably time to sell some assets. And I get the feeling these cartels probably hold a hell of a lot of their money in crypto, where it's harder for governments to do things like seize it. So I can't help but notice the timing with this big sell-off in Bitcoin and all the things happening in Mexico. I'm not saying that's definitely what happened. Just couldn't help but notice that. Also going on this morning, Meta to spend billions of dollars on AMD gear and buy stock. This is the big one that is in the press this morning. AMD stock is having a good morning here. Meta Platforms will deploy 6 gigawatts worth of data center gear based on processors from Advanced Micro Devices, a blockbuster deal that marks a win for the chipmakers' attempts to catch up with NVIDIA. Meta will buy AMD chips and computers designed to run artificial intelligence models over a five-year stretch, beginning in the second half of 2026. The series of transactions will be worth double-digit billions of dollars per gigawatt, according to AMD CEO Lisa Su. As part of the arrangement, Meta will receive warrants to buy 160 million AMD shares in stages. The two companies said the shares will vest when the project and AMD stock price reach certain milestones, turning Meta into a major shareholder. So Meta's not just buying chips here. They're also buying stock warrants. There is some details on these warrants all the way at the bottom of the article. The Meta tie-up assumes that AMD shares are just at the start of a longer rally. Some of Meta's warrants would only vest if the share price reaches $600. The stock closed Monday at $196.60. I'll take things that will never happen for 1,000, Alex. They're basically saying AMD stock is going to triple here in order for these stock warrants to vest. Okay. Well, look, AMD is having a good morning here, although it is off the highs. It's currently up a little less than 9%, $214.14, up about $17.50. It was as high as about $225 this morning. So well off the highs, but a good morning nonetheless for AMD. And again, this is a story about NVIDIA losing market share, NVIDIA's margins getting compressed, NVIDIA's dominance moat getting smaller. And we've also seen deals with OpenAI buying custom chips from Amazon and from Google. So we got a lot of companies chipping into NVIDIA's market dominance, although NVIDIA has a long way to go here. Mind you, that moat was pretty thick. Meta stock, meanwhile, is not looking so good on this deal. It was down about 2.8% yesterday. Again, if we're so worried that AI is going to ruin every industry in the world, why are the AI stocks down on the same day? I don't buy that Citrini sell-off story yesterday. But Meta, again, down a little bit here, not really reacting to this AMD deal, $636.24, probably because a lot of the money that they're spending on these chips is money that was previously announced CapEx increases, and the stock didn't really like that either. Now we got to talk about Anthropic this morning. Anthropic accuses Chinese AI labs of mining Claude as U.S. debates AI chip exports. And well, this one is in TechCrunch. It just sucks when people steal your stuff. What can we say? Anthropic is accusing three Chinese AI companies of setting up more than 24,000 fake accounts with its Claude AI model to improve their own models. The labs, DeepSeek, Moonshot AI, and Minimax, allegedly generated more than 16 million exchanges with Claude through those accounts using a technique called distillation. Anthropic said the labs targeted Claude's most differentiated capabilities, agentic reasoning, tool use, and coding. The accusations come amid debates over how strictly to enforce export controls on advanced AI chips, a policy aimed at curbing China's AI development. Distillation is a common training method that AI labs use on their own models to create smaller, cheaper versions, but competitors can use it to essentially copy the homework of other labs. OpenAI sent a memo to House lawmakers earlier this month accusing DeepSeek of using distillation to mimic its products. Is anybody surprised here? I mean, look, the Chinese economy is built on two things, invading Taiwan and intellectual property theft, right? That's like two things that they know how to do, that and starve people by the tens of millions. Oh my God, intellectual property theft in China, say it ain't so. And again, this is very much the pot calling the other pot black. It's not even a kettle. They're the same freaking thing, because everything Anthropic knows it stole from somebody else. And now they're like, hey, you stole my stolen stuff. Meanwhile, DeepSeek is over here saying, look at me. I am the IP thief now. Yes, very much. It sucks when people take your stuff. What can I say? Now, this one is interesting. In Axios this morning, it's not an outlet I typically parrot on this channel, but Musk's XAI and the Pentagon reach a deal to use Grok in classified systems. And this is as interesting for Anthropic as it is for XAI, which just merged with SpaceX, remind you. Elon Musk's artificial intelligence company, XAI, has signed an agreement to allow the military to use its model Grok in classified systems, a defense official confirmed to Axios. Up to now, Anthropic's Claude has been the only model available in the systems on which the military's most sensitive intelligence work, weapons development, and battlefield operations take place. But the Pentagon is threatening Anthropic in a dispute over safeguards and may soon need a replacement. Anthropic has refused the Pentagon's demand that they make Claude available for all lawful purposes, insisting in particular on blocking its use for mass surveillance of Americans and the development of fully autonomous weapons. XAI agreed to that all lawful use standard, as Axios previously reported. The New York Times first reported that a deal had been signed. XAI did not respond for requests for comment. And again, in a world where we do whatever we want, as long as we adjust the definition of anything at our will, the all lawful use standard could mean pretty much anything here. It's not clear whether XAI will be able to fully replace Anthropic or how long that process would take. Claude was used in the Maduro raid, for example, through Anthropic's partnership with Palantir. So Anthropic potentially losing the defense business to XAI here, as the Pentagon is not happy about Anthropic planting their feet on certain safeguard issues. And now on to Mr. Diamond. He's got a couple of beauties this morning. Jamie Dimon says, watch out as lofty asset prices add to economic risks. And he says, my anxiety is high. Okay, Jamie Dimon has anxiety. You might want to take that up with your therapist, Jamie. JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon said Monday that he was anxious over the U.S. economy, citing elevated asset prices and a competitive environment in banking that reminded him of the pre-2008 crisis years. By the way, that is the second time this week comparisons have been made to the run-up to the GFC. I'm sure that's nothing. Even as economists tout the Trump administration's tax and deregulatory policies as boosting economic growth this year, Dimon said during an annual investor update that his own tendencies were to consider what could go wrong when expectations are riding high. My own view is people are getting a little comfortable that this is real, these high asset prices and high volumes, and that we won't have any problems, said Dimon, who was dressed in black and wore a brace on his hands. Inevitably, Dimon said the economic cycle will turn, leading to a wave of borrower defaults that would broadly affect lenders and often impacting industries few people expect, he said. All right, and I have to mention here, guys, like my own view is that people are getting a little comfortable that this is real, these high asset prices and high volumes. I mean, am I misinterpreting this? Am I reading too much into this? He's saying these high asset prices are fake. And again, I agree. These private equity business holdings, these business development companies, these private credit loans, commercial real estate, AI stocks, crypto shitcos, the price discovery is all fake. It's one reason why gold and silver is one of the few things I've been comfortable buying these last few years is I don't trust the lack of price discovery in this market because I see everybody in the world of finance jumping through hoops to avoid price discovery. And Jamie Dimon is just confirming my fears here with this soundbite. He said, there will be a cycle one day. I don't know what confluence of events will cause that cycle, but my anxiety is high over it, Dimon said. I'm not assuaged by the fact that asset prices are high. In fact, I think that adds to the risk. I agree. In a response to a question from a veteran banking analyst, Mike Mayo, Dimon said the current environment felt similar to the 3 years leading into the 2008 financial crisis in that everyone is making a lot of money. People were leveraging. The sky was the limit. JPM Chief said that some financial firms were doing some dumb things, Blue L, that involved chasing interest income, which is made through lending and investing activities, though he didn't name the companies doing so. Yes, he definitely did not say Blue L. You feel stupid when everyone's coining money and everyone's great. It does feel really good, Dimon said. And then when I think about all the factors taking place, Dimon said, I take a deep breath and say, watch out. And by the way, when he says he sees financial firms doing dumb things that involve chasing interest income, let me translate. They're making loans that they have no business making to people who can't pay them back because they just want to collect the fee for issuing that loan and they want to collect the interest income. And well, in a lot of cases, they're just selling those loans onto somebody else's books, exporting the risk, move on to the next one. And look at some of the firms that we've seen big sell-offs in, all private credit BDCs, Blue Owl. We've also seen big sell-offs in Klarna, big sell-offs in Carvana over the last few days. You can see worries about this debt going bad. And that's why I think the sell-off that we saw yesterday probably has more to do with bad debts in these financial firms doing dumb things than anything some guy wrote about how awesome AI is going to be in a Substack. On a day when AI stocks were going down, everybody's like, yeah, the reason Carvana is selling off is because AI is so cool. Okay. All right. You think what you want, I guess. Meanwhile, FedEx sues for a refund of Trump tariffs days after the Supreme Court ruling. No big surprise here, to be honest with you guys. We kind of knew this was coming. We've just got confirmation of the first one now. FedEx on Monday sued the U.S. government seeking a full refund of the money the shipping giant paid for tariffs unilaterally imposed last year by President Donald Trump, which the Supreme Court ruled last week were illegal. So let me ask you, if FedEx is suing to get the tariffs back, tariff costs that were passed on to FedEx's customers, does that mean every customer can sue to get their shipping costs back? Oh no, silly rabbit, that money is going to go right into FedEx's bank account. FedEx suit appears to be the first filed by a major American company seeking a refund for tariffs after Friday's Supreme Court decision. Other companies filed lawsuits staking claims to their refunds before the high court ruled that the tariffs Trump imposed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act are illegal. Those suits, whose plaintiffs include retail warehouse club giant Costco, remain pending at the U.S. Court of International Trade in New York, the same court where FedEx filed its lawsuit. And look, I'm no lawyer, but I'm guessing the fact that Trump has just imposed these new tariffs under the 1974 Trade Act, I don't think that matters, because the tariffs that were paid last year were paid because of the IEEPA tariffs, which the Supreme Court struck down. So just because you have new tariffs for a different reason would not retroactively make those things legal, which the Supreme Court just said were not legal. And so this strikes me as a slam dunk here. I think they're going to get their money back, and I think every other company that sues is going to get their money back. And I can't help but wonder, I mean, you're talking about a few hundred billion dollars plus legal expenses that the government is going to have to pay. That money's going to come out of the Treasury General account, and eventually they're going to lean on the bond market to replenish that. So this could cause liquidity problems if this gets big enough. Meanwhile, China hits Takaichi with tougher export curbs on Japan firms. The Chinese are still throwing a fit over Takaichi's comments a few months ago. China blacklisted 20 Japanese entities and tightened scrutiny on a raft of other firms, signaling Beijing won't drop its pressure campaign against Tokyo, even after Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi's recent landslide victory. The Ministry of Commerce added top Japanese military suppliers, including the shipbuilding and aerospace affiliates of Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, to an export control list, according to a Tuesday statement. The move marks the first time Japanese firms were added to the list since January of 2025. In another measure, Beijing placed an additional 20 entities, including automakers Subaru and Hino Motors, on the monitor list. While not an outright ban, this status subjects Chinese exporters to stricter checks when they apply for a license to provide Japanese companies with goods that have both civilian and military applications. China is clearly not letting up the pressure in spite of the Japanese prime minister's landslide results, according to Dylan Low, associate professor at Nanyang Technological University. The rules can restrict alleged militarization and also deal a blow to these companies directly. The measures come on the heels of a broader ban announced earlier this year blocking exports to Japan with any military applications, although the use of the monitor list for the first time signals an expansion of the scope of targets for further export controls. Japan so far hasn't directly retaliated against Beijing's moves. Tokyo has protested the measures to China and demanded their withdrawal, Deputy Chief Cabinet Secretary Kei Sato told reporters on Tuesday. So the Chinese are still throwing a fit over Takaichi, saying that she would come to Taiwan's aid if they were ever invaded. And, you know, well, don't invade Taiwan and it won't be a problem. What a concept. Meanwhile, we've got Home Depot earnings today. Their profit falls as home improvement downturn continues. The company said sales fell in the fourth quarter to $38.2 billion. The housing market is still frozen, folks. Home Depot reported lower fiscal fourth quarter profit as economic uncertainty, high interest rates, and stagnant housing market continue to weigh on home improvement activity. We continue to see pressure from consumer uncertainty and frozen housing conditions, said CFO Richard McPhail in an interview. Our customer, who is the homeowner, remains among the healthiest consumer cohorts, but they do tell us uncertainty is impacting their desire to spend on the home. Home Depot raised prices in some categories last year to help offset tariffs. There's some of that tariff inflation, McPhail said. Those price hikes did impact demand, but that the company isn't planning additional pricing increases. So those tariff increases, it was a one-off. It's not ongoing inflation. The home improvement retailer has said that economic uncertainty, including slipping home prices and a wobbly job market, have led homeowners to delay remodeling projects. High interest rates have also particularly curtailed discretionary upgrades that homeowners typically fund with financing, while a stagnant housing market has limited the home improvement projects that come with housing turnover. For the fourth quarter, the company reported net income of $2.57 billion, or $2.58 a share, down from $3 billion, or $3.02 a share. So net income came in well below last year, but I would add it was above expectations, so it beat low expectations. Adjusted earnings were $2.72 a share, above the $2.53 that analysts were expecting. Sales fell 3.8% to $38.2 billion, beating Wall Street forecasts of $38.09. So right there, you can see how low the expectations were. And even though we beat those low expectations, sales still fell 3.8%. Comps increased 0.4%. That is anemic. That's actually less stuff selling because inflation is still what, say a little under 3%, depending on which metric you go by. So comps of 0.4%, that is less stuff selling. But the company did reiterate their 2026 guidance for comp sales growth of flat to 2% and adjusted earnings per share growth of flat to 4%. So Home Depot having a good morning, up 4% now after the opening bell has rung, trading at $392.04. But you'll see here, we're pretty much just like unchanged for the year, going all the way back to this time last year. The stock has gone a whole bunch of nowhere, actually down 2%. So, you know, no change to the story. The housing market is frozen. The market largely expected that. Earnings were a little bit better than people were expecting. So the stock is having a good day here. And now we have to worry about Jamie Dimon's cucarachas. We've got a private equity firm in Puerto Rico just went bankrupt, $500 million probably going up in smoke. The Phoenix Fund LLC files for Chapter 11 protection in Puerto Rico. Shout out to RK Consultants on Twitter who posted this one. And a shout out to my friend, the Pasta Man, who sent me this one last night. Thank you, Pasta, for looking out for the channel. They're listing assets of $500 million to $1 billion and liabilities of $100 million to $500 million. That would suggest this firm is solvent. Don't read too much into that. The assets and liabilities are both right around the $500 million mark. Let's see. They're based in Guaynabo, Puerto Rico. It's a private equity fund. They filed for Chapter 11 protection on February 23rd. That's yesterday in the District of Puerto Rico. The investment management entity is currently undergoing restructuring following significant legal and regulatory challenges that emerged over the past 24 months. Funny thing, when you don't pay your bills, you get sued and then you have legal and regulatory challenges. As of February 2026, the fund operates with 9 subsidiaries and has been under the supervision of a court-appointed receiver since June of 2025. So this one is a long time in the making. Recent operations have impacted approximately $46 million in legal claims and $29 million in preventive attachments, alongside litigation involving the Zenith Fund and claims from the State Insurance Fund Corporation regarding overdue loans. So we have a little bit more information here provided by Grok. The Phoenix Fund, based in Puerto Rico, it's a private equity firm founded in 2018. They make debt and equity investments in privately held companies. The focus sectors were energy, pharma, biotech, real estate, finance, insurance, and technology. About roughly $596 million in assets under management, nine subsidiaries. Publicly noted portfolio ties include Kirogen Biotech, 20 Software, the Universal Group, which is likely insurance related, other ties, ongoing litigation with the Zenith Fund, and overdue loan claims from Puerto Rico's State Insurance Fund. No full public portfolio disclosure exists for this firm. So look, you got a $500 million firm going bankrupt. We've been warning about private equity. This is just as private credit is blowing up. And, you know, somebody made a really good point about private equity and private credit recently on X. I don't know who it is, so I can't provide attribution. But the point was basically with most of these companies, the equity goes to zero before the debt goes bad. In most cases, debt, you know, if a company goes bankrupt, the debt holders eat first. And then if there's anything left, the equity holders get it. Which means if you're worried about private credit, as I am, as most people are right now, then you should be twice as worried about private equity, because private equity pretty much goes to zero before private credit takes the loss. And that's an important point here. And here we see a private equity firm filing for bankruptcy. They won't be the last. Thanks again to RK Consultants for that one. And thank you very much to Jolly Lollipop, who says, I think Ted Kaczynski was correct when he stated that technology would ruin humanity. He may have taken that one a bit far, though. All right. I mean, look, I get down with the tinfoil too, but let's never go full Unabomber. By the way, he was the Zodiac as well as the Unabomber. Do you concur? I'm not too familiar with the Zodiac, so I cannot concur on that one. But hey, I get down with the tinfoil. Sure, why not? Thank you, Jolly Lollipop, for supporting the channel. Again, let's not be that much of a Luddite, all right? I'm concerned about certain technological advancements, not that concerned. Armando, what's going on, brother? He says, is the stock market collapsing yet? No, it is not. Emphasis yet. It has not happened yet. Although that 800-point sell-off yesterday was a little worrying, and I'm just not buying this narrative that, oh, all these different sectors are selling off a different one every day because AI is so good, all right? Everything I've read, everything I've seen says AI outside of software development is a massive, unmitigated disappointment. All right. So no, I don't think Carvana sold off yesterday because AI was so awesome. Sorry, I'm just not buying that. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel. JSM, been a melon head for 3 months. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. He says, great show. What's your take on FIGR stock? I don't know that ticker off the top of my head. Give me one moment. Let's see if it's something I am familiar with. Figure Technology Solutions. I don't know the name. I cannot comment on it. Let me just look at the sector it's in. What do these guys do? It's a finance, a fintech company, provides blockchain-based products for solutions for, nope, sorry, you lost me. Fintech, blockchain, I'm out. Those are two sectors I would not touch with a 10-foot pole right now. Thank you, though, for supporting the channel. Appreciate that very much. And again, that was a very knee-jerk reaction just based on sector. I don't know anything specific about that company, JSM. Armando is back again, says, will there be an AI bust like a dot-com bust? Yes. Yes, there will be. I am 101% sure of this. All right. There absolutely will be a bust. AI is not going away. The technology is here. It will continue advancing at a much slower pace than the a-holes on CNBC are telling you. But the technology is not going to go away. But, you know, what it looks like, what the, you know, what it's going to look like 10 years from now, most of these companies will be gone by the time that happens. So it's still very early, in my opinion. Thanks again, Armando. Oh, hey, Armando's back again. He says, I need $250 silver. Don't threaten me with a good time. I like the shiny. Someone create a crisis. I would say $250 silver is a crisis in and of itself. Again, I own a lot of silver, so it'd be very good for me. Probably pretty bad for everybody else. We were well on our way for a while there. The only thing I would say, guys, is just be careful. The momentum traders, the meme coiners, the crypto guys, the meme stalkers, they're creeping into the precious metal space. And whenever those guys, those momentum chasers get involved, it just makes a mess. It makes a mess, right? Be careful who you let into the party because someone's going to knock over a lamp, puke on the floor. That's what happens when these guys get involved in precious metal trades. And that's why that's what ultimately led to the single worst day sell-off in silver history. So thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel. Nacho Man, look at all of them. 50 new baby melon heads. Thank you so much, Nacho Man. I really appreciate all the support of the channel, sir. Thank you for growing the ranks in the melon patch. Welcome, all you baby melons. Be sure and say thank you to Nacho Man. And just a reminder, guys, you get a free super chat every month with that membership. Feel free to use that, and I will read and respond to your questions live on the air. Armando again says, is the Ukraine-Russia war still going on? Yes, sir, it still is. People are still being fed into that meat grinder by the thousands. And for what? A couple of inches of dirt a day. It's World War I all over again. Sadly, yes, it is, Armando. Thank you for supporting the channel, sir. Hey, Real Estate Mindset saying thank you, Armando. Well, thank you, Travis, you bonkers SOB. You appreciate the support of the channel. Check out Real Estate Mindset. Also, my friend and fellow doomer, Travis. Thank you, Travis, for supporting the channel. Travis and Armando just do this thing. They call each other out in the super chats. I don't know. But thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Gestrata PCL says, happy birthday, Jack and Travis. Have a great one. Yeah, my birthday was a few weeks ago, but thank you very much anyway. I appreciate the belated well wishes. Thank you, sir. And happy birthday, Travis. I didn't know it was your birthday, Travis. Happy birthday, sir. Yeah, it's not my birthday, guys. But happy birthday, Travis. I don't get it. I don't get it. What happens in the chat sometimes goes right over my head. Hunt and Cover says, start digging. Gigi needs a new pair of shoes or a cup of coffee at least. Yep, this house runs on coffee. Absolutely, sir. Thank you very much. She's got a lot of shoes, though. I'm not sure the whole thing about the shoes. And careful, somebody's going to hear that. Thank you, Hunt and Cover. I live with three women, so there's plenty of shoes around here, Hunt and Cover. Armando Reyes is back again. My dad gives me so much crap for my pronunciation of your name, Armando. He says, are we going to see refugees from Mexico? Where have you been for the last 50 years, Armando? Question is, would the violence, or I guess I'm going to extrapolate a bit from your question, would the violence extend across the border? And again, to a certain extent, it already has. But I'm seeing things like IEDs being used on Mexican truck convoys now. Keep an eye on what's going on in Mexico. That could spiral out of control there, and very much so. But yeah, the refugees from Mexico thing, again, like just 30 million people in the last 50 years. Yeah, we could. And I don't think you need a tinfoil hat to get there, Armando. Nacho Band's back again, says, hey, Jack, have a friend with kilo of jewelry silver. I'm going to trade for Bitcoin. Is it considered junk, and what should I pay for it? All right. Silver jewelry, like the refiners or the shops would refer to that as alloy. No, it's not considered junk. Junk generally refers to 90% silver coinage, pre-1964 dimes, quarters, and half dollars, and to a lesser extent, things like war nickels and 40% half dollars. But for the most part, when you hear junk, you're thinking 90% silver coins. Sterling silver, 92.5% silver, not generally considered junk, but you're not going to get anywhere near melt value for your sterling. So do your research if you are going to sell that stuff. Ask your coin shops what they're paying for sterling. A lot of coin shops aren't even buying sterling right now. You'd have to go to like a pawn shop, or if you have enough of it, you could go direct to a refiner, but you're going to take a big haircut on the melt value of that. So be careful what you pay for sterling. That's the one thing I would add. Traded for Bitcoin, I probably would not make that trade right now. If it was, say, September, October of this year, several months from now, because I think Bitcoin has a long way to fall, I might consider a trade like that. But yeah, that's just where I'm at there. Thank you very much, Nacho Man, for supporting the channel. Real Estate Mindset says, what does the term Bitcoin mean? Bitcoin is just, I believe Johnny Bravo, cue the fire, is the one who coined the term Bitcoin. It just means Bitcoin, brother. That's it. Shout out to Johnny Bravo and Real Estate Mindset. Check out both of those channels, two of my favorites. Pasta Man says, court ordered reimbursements of illegal tariffs paid by taxpayers that don't get dispersed to customers, aka government subsidies of private companies. Very clever. I can't argue with the logic. There's no way the customer is going to get reimbursed for the tariffs he paid through higher prices and shipping costs. No effing way. Good luck proving damages. You're going to pay the lawyers more for that. So you're right. This is a transfer directly to the bottom lines of those companies. I can't argue with the logic, Pasta Man. Very good for FedEx. Everybody else gets the shaft. Well, they were clumsy and they rushed it out and they went too far with it. What can I say? Thank you, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. EJ Walsh 877 says, I just put a Ross Perot for president on my pickup truck. Can I finish? Can I finish? I'm all ears. Ross Perot. Yep. Man, that's taking us back. The last time a third-party candidate had anything resembling a chance to win was arguably Ross Perot. And arguably also the reason why Bill Clinton won, and arguably the reason why the two-party system isn't going anywhere, because third-party candidates are generally viewed as spoilers who help one side win. And since most people don't actually vote for anyone, they just vote against the person they like the least, because of our two-party system and because the primaries give us such dreadful, awful candidates where you have a choice between an egotistical narcissist and an outright communist, and may the odds be ever in your favor. Oh, my God. I know. Like, you wonder why I'm so negative. Give me a candidate I can vote for once, instead of just voting against somebody. My one claim to, like, moral high ground in politics is that the guys I vote for in the primary never win. And so my guy is never on the freaking ticket. And so therefore, I don't ever have to take blame for whatever they do, even though I'm forced to eventually vote for somebody on the ticket. But if you really hate the way the parties are operating, guys, pick one and vote in the primaries if you want to improve the choices that the general public has in the final outcome. And thanks again, EJ Walsh. And PNice494 says, happy birthday, Travis. Happy birthday, Travis. You're officially 21. You can now drink legally. I'm going to take you out for a beer the next time I'm in Texas. Thank you, PNice, for supporting the channel and for the birthday wishes. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melon Heads. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. Check out the link down below to George Noble's Best Stock Ideas Summit, where I'll be presenting on March 11th. Also, thank you very much for the generosity in the Super Chats and on Patreon, YouTube, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below to that stuff as well. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small, dream big. And Armando, yes, you're last. Always got to get the last word in.